Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed which will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be made known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs in your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. Whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Some of you will remember way back in 1991. In 1991, Holy Family was growing and growing. By then we had 5,500 households registered who belonged to Holy Family. Karl Holschneider, who was an inspired leader, managed the finances and the business of the parish. Many of you will remember Carl. Not only was he an excellent administrator, but because in his early life he was a priest, a Franciscan priest, he also had a very insightful ecclesiology about how a church ought to grow and how it ought to work. For me, I was the outside man. I dealt with spiritual things and I dealt with people. Carl managed the administration of the parish. At that time, since we were growing, we developed this development plan for the future of Holy Family. Now we were to take on a big debt. We bought the Christian Science Church, the apartment building next to it, those condominiums. We bought a house on Rollin, a large house for $1 million. We bought three condominiums on Oak and two homes over here on Ramona. We were already about $5.5 million in debt. But the people of Holy Family were visionary and they were courageous. And we launched what we called the future of Holy Family, which was going to involve a $20 million redevelopment, the acquisition of properties, and the rebuilding of everything at Holy Family except the church. The school, the pastor's center, the hall, everything was to be rebuilt. Intense as those days were, early in April 1991, I got a call from Ireland saying, "My father had a bad heart attack. He was dangerously ill, he was in the hospital." So I left Holy Family and went back to Ireland to be with him. And every day I spent time with him, a long time with him each day. And after about 10 days or 2 weeks, the doctor said, "I think he's getting better, so I think he will be okay." So one evening I said to my dad, "I'm leaving tomorrow to go back to Holy Family because we have a major enterprise emerging at Holy Family. And he said, please go, I'll be fine. I said, I'll be leaving in the morning. He said, good, but I want you to do one thing for me before you leave. And I said, okay, I want you to hear my confession. Well, my father was my icon. He was an honorable man. Went to Mass every day. He was charitable. Worked very hard for his family. But he wasn't perfect. He could get angry sometimes. He had high standards that he expected others to meet. But he was forgiving. He was understanding. Even if he was imperfect. Well, I heard his confession and I was humbled to hear the confession of my father, who was like my God. He had a huge influence over me for good. He was my inspiration in my life, and me hearing his confession. So I blessed him and I came back here the next morning. I was back maybe about a week. I got a call that he had died unexpectedly. He was 88 years old. He taught me many things in my life. But one very important thing he taught me was to be human is to be holy. Not to be perfect, just to be human. That's the way to holiness of life. When we're fully human, we understand the need for other people in our lives. When we're fully human, we understand our need to belong, how we depend on other people. To be human means we're aware of our own limitations. We're aware of our own sins. We're much less likely to make judgments about other people when we're fully human. We understand our need to be forgiven and our need to share forgiveness with others, to be fully human. We rid ourselves of the masks of being perfect, the mask of being ideal, and we take on the riches and the gift of being fully human. I learned that from my father. When I heard his confession, I admired him more than I ever admired him before. He showed me his humanity. When you come to the spiritual journey, this is a fundamental thought. Theologians like Richard Rohr or Gottfried Diekmann or Peter Van Briemen write extensively about the fact that we're not human beings trying to be spiritual. We're spiritual beings trying to be human. And the gospel that Jesus Christ preached for us is a gospel to enrich us in our humanity, not to deny our humanity, but to endow our humanity. To be fully human is to be compassionate. We speak about inhuman persons, the selfish, the greedy, the judgmental, the harsh people. The inhuman people who don't care about the poor, don't care about people who are struggling, the inhuman people. But to be human is to care. To be human is to belong. To be human is to understand. To be patient, to be fully human is to be holy. We are holy people trying to be fully human. We're not human people trying to be spiritual. It's a fundamental thought in the spiritual journey. So when we come to listen to the Word of God and listen to the persons in your life who are fully human, it's an invitation for us to share the same humanity that is given to us. We are made in the image of God, and we are made in a human form. So how do we honor our humanity? Listen to the gospel today. Jesus says, in all your humanity, I send you forth to proclaim the gospel, the good news. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid that you have limitations. Don't be afraid that you're imperfect. The only gospel you have to preach is out of your humanity. Not your superiority, not your judgment, not your perfection, but an openness to see goodness in everyone you meet, to see possibilities, to see something that the world misses. Look at Greg Boyle, familiar to us, and Greg Boyle meets ex-cons and people who belong to gangs, but he sees something in them that the world does not see. That's the vision of holiness. The persons with whom you differ, take a second look. Maybe there's a teaching. Maybe there's an insight. Maybe there's a grace there that is meant to enlighten us. This I learned from my father. So when you listen to the Word of God today, are not two sparrows sold for a mere coin? And yet you are worth more than many sparrows. In all your foolishness and your emptiness and your struggles in life, there's a wonder inside of you. You are a spiritual person trying to be fully human. And sometimes society won't allow us to be human. And sometimes the church won't allow us to be human. We have to wear a mask. I have to do all sorts of extraordinary things in the social order to be admired and to be accepted. I have to perform. I have to be careful. I have to wear a mask to cover the richness of my humanity. Instead of asking for forgiveness, I have to appear like I don't need forgiveness. Instead of telling you, I need you, I need to belong to you, I need your understanding, we tend to be superior and independent. It's a mask. And the real person is fearful sometimes behind the mask. We need a mask in the social order. I mean, who's important? Who's significant? Who do we admire? Not the real person. It's a mask. And the Word of God calls us to look deeper inside ourselves and to find the things that we tend to hide, to bring these up to the surface and say, we are human beings. We are holy because of our humanity. So don't overlook this gospel reading today that said Jesus says, I'm sending you out to preach the word, but before you can preach the word, you will fail. You will abandon Jesus Christ. The 12 he sends out, they'll abandon Jesus Christ. You will betray Jesus Christ. You will deny Jesus Christ. You will make many mistakes in your life. And yet, in your humanity, Jesus Christ calls you. Become fully human, understand your humanity, Turn to the Lord in your humanity. Don't be afraid now, he says. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so the imperfection of the Father is our great teacher, the humanity of our fathers. To face the beauty of being somebody fully human. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we have a church that says, come into the church and bring your humanity. I think I mentioned before that years ago in the Cameroon near Yaoundé, a missionary showed me this practice which was normalized in the little village. And outside the village, they had a mosque or a chapel or a religious center of some kind. And I was told that each year, every man in that village was obliged to go to this holy place by himself. And at the entrance to the holy place, he would take off all his clothes and be fully naked. And in his nakedness, he would back into the presence of his God. He would sit and he would listen until he heard what his deity wished of him for the next year. And after he heard the voice of his God telling him what his mission was for the next year, he would go back out, put his clothes on, and live out that mission. The deep understanding of the practice was he could only hear the voice of his God in his nakedness. The symbol, when you come into the house of the Lord, to hear the voice of God, we have to be fully human. And that's your Father. And that's my Father. Your teacher, my teacher, and your inspiration, and my inspiration on Father's Day. Amen. It has been my long-term practice on Father's Day to sing The Old Man, and it's an Irish anthem. It's a prayer. It's a recognition. And in a way, you have to transpose it to fit your own experience of your father. So this is the Irish anthem, a tribute to fathers. I like to sing this for my father, for your father. It's called The Old Man. The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend, and he'll still be heard in the tunes he shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me, like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. I thought he'd live forever. He looked so big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly, when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. God, I miss him, the old man. Amen. We're now going to bless the fathers among us and the fathers who belong to us. Thank you, Burke. And the fathers who belong to us, those who are here present and those who are absent from us, perhaps for distance, or those who live in the house of the Lord.